Tiffany and you. White boy stew. Got my co-host Slaying with me too. Tiffany and you. Time to go to class at the Tiffany and you. Once a week on Wednesday at the Tiffany and you. Talking college sports at the Tiffany and you. White boy is the deacon at the Tiffany and you. Tiffany and you. Tiffany and you. White boy stew. I am the host at the Tiffany and you. Tiffany and you. Tiffany and you. We are all about our students at the Tiffany and you. Ooh. Tiffany and you. White boy stew. Got my co-host Slaying with me too. Tiffany Network. Welcome back to class here at the 10 for 10 U. You can follow the 10 for 10 Network on Facebook and Twitter at the 10 for 10 Network. You can follow me, the host, White Boy Stew, on Twitter at GoGators_SNT, or you can follow me on Facebook under my government name. That's Stuart Thompson, and that is with the EW and not to you. As always, I am joined by my co-host. You can follow him on Twitter at Chris_Slayton. If you want to follow him on Facebook, just smack the underdash on out from under there and follow him under Chris Slayton. So Slayton, how's it going, sir?
Be a lot better if Texas didn't get smashed.
Yes, your team did get smashed this week.
They did. Been a decent week, though, otherwise.
It has. We had a pretty good weekend.
Yeah, we had a very good weekend.
Yes, we did. Somebody here at the 10 for 10 Network has a birthday tomorrow, and we pre-celebrated it, I guess you would say, this past Sunday and Monday.
Indeed. So if you're listening to this on Wednesday, you're technically celebrating my birthday with me.
Yeah, so hey, everybody, if you're listening to this, make sure to give our boy Slayton a birthday shout-out on Facebook or Twitter. And hey, even if you listen to this on a Thursday or Friday, a little bit after, give him a belated birthday shout-out, and then you'll know he'll definitely see it because then his page won't be getting flooded with the birthday post.
Exactly.
Yeah, so if you're trying to get seen by Slayton for some odd reason, give him a belated birthday shout-out.
It'll work, I promise.
It probably would. So, Slayton, we had a good weekend, and you know who else had a good weekend? The college football world, because there were some great games. Another great weekend of college football. But, hey, me and you knew that. We knew the month of November was going to be big, and it has been so far, and it has not let us down. And I have a pretty good feeling that the rest of the November month is not going to let us down. So let's go ahead and hop into our reviews. First game we're going to start off with was number 2 Bama at number 17 Mississippi State. Coming in this one, we thought Mississippi State at home. Mississippi State had been playing pretty good, and we're thinking, hey, they might could keep up with Bama, and you never know if they keep it into the fourth quarter at home. They might be able to do something crazy. Dak Prescott might play out of his mind. And the first quarter, it looked that way. Mississippi State had some chances to score, but at the end of the first quarter, it was 0-0, and then Bama took off on them in the second quarter. At halftime, it ended up being 21-3. Bama never looked back. Same game plan, different team. They had 9 sacks. Henry has a big day, and they run away with this one literally 31-6. Coker, 15-25, 144 yards, 1 touchdown, and 1 interception. So, again, just another average day from Coker, but, hey, he doesn't have to do anything. Spectacular win. Bama's run game is doing what they are doing. Bama's rush, 30 carries, 235 yards, 2 touchdowns, and led by the Beast. And I will say it, the Heisman front runner at this moment, he has taken over Fournette's spot. Derrick Henry, 22 carries, 204 yards, and 2 touchdowns. So another beast day for Derrick Henry. The second game with 2 touchdowns and over 200 yards in a row. And it's probably more than that, but I know for sure the past 2 games he's done that. As far as Mississippi State, Dak Prescott, 22 of 43, 300 yards, 0 touchdowns and 1 interception. So he didn't do nothing. He didn't make any big plays passing, but he did move the ball a little bit with the 300 yards, but 26 carries and only 14 yards and no touchdowns there. So he was definitely going to have a good day with his feet for Mississippi State to stay in this, and he definitely did not have that. Credit to Alabama's defense. That front 7 is absolutely disgusting. Mississippi State's rush, 42 carries, 89 yards, and 0 touchdowns. And you had Prescott with the 26 carries, so he led everybody in carries. And then you had Brandon Holloway with 7 carries, 34 yards, and 0 touchdowns. And Nick Dylan Fitzgerald with 5 carries, 24 yards, and 0 touchdowns. So they did a little bit in the pass game, but the run game got shut down. And this is a common theme with Alabama playing you on offense with their defense. They're going to shut down your run game. There's just nothing you're going to do about it. You're going to have to basically beat them with a running quarterback. And as you've seen, they kept Prescott in the pocket most of the day, and they kept him under wraps. And maybe Bama's kryptonite is no longer a running quarterback, because past couple ones they've played, they've done a pretty good job with. So, Slayton, what do you think about this one? And is Bama the scariest team in the nation right now?
I believe they are. You look at this Bama offense, and they really weren't clicking to start this game.
Yeah.
It looked ugly, and they were still putting a whipping on Mississippi State.
Yep.
I don't know if that's a credit to the defense or just Bama rolling over everybody.
I mean, 9 sacks, that's not bad.
No, not at all. So, I mean, Mississippi State, like you said, Dak Prescott couldn't get anything going. And he struggled mightily all day long. Reads, was getting pressure on every play.
Yep.
It looked pretty bad for Mississippi State. It really did.
Yeah, and we've seen Mississippi State in a couple of games this year play very well with some good teams and keep up with them. But we've also seen them get mismatched with a lot of the better teams in the conference and out of conference, just to be honest. And they just don't have the athletes that they had last year when they got out to number one.
They don't have that every down back like they had last year.
They don't have the back. And let's be honest, they really don't have that big receiver that they need either.
They don't. And the reason I keyed on the back is because before, Prescott was so advantageous out of the backfield because you had that run game.
Yep.
People had to commit to the running back, and he would pull the ball and jet.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just not happening this year because they can't get anything going on the ground.
Yeah, and they definitely didn't get anything running on the ground this game. Impressive win for Bama. I say it every week. I'm not really looking forward to Florida having to play these guys, but hey, never know. We'll cover that when we get to that. So next game we're going to jump into was number one Clemson at Syracuse, and this one ended up being tricky for Clemson. And we knew Syracuse at home in that weird looking dome that they have that they play in, that they keep up with teams. They kept up with LSU for a little while earlier in the season. But they just didn't have enough offense. Clemson led 31-17 at half. Another big day for Watson. And Clemson takes off on this one 37-27. Syracuse kept it close, kind of edged in there at the end to keep the eyeballs on it. But for the most part, Clemson handled the business. Watson, 461 total yards and 3 touchdowns. So, like I said, another humongous day for Watson. He's definitely up there in the Heisman talk right now, too. As far as passing, 34-47, 360 yards, 2 touchdowns and 1 interception, so another great day passing. He didn't keep it as clean as he has been all season, but he still had another great game passing. And, of course, he had another big day running the ball, 14 carries, 105 yards, and 1 touchdown. So he is dangerous passing, and he might be even more dangerous when he's running the ball. As far as Clemson's rush as a team, 37 carries, 210 yards, 2 touchdowns, and that was led by Wayne Gallman with 15 carries for 66 yards and a touchdown. So not a bad day for him either with the touchdown. So Clemson's offense, it's clicking. It looks good. They probably have one of the best offenses, I believe, in the nation. You look at Syracuse, Zach Mahoney, 8 of 21, 80 yards, 0 touchdowns and 0 interceptions. So not a very good day passing the ball. He also had 10 carries for 76 yards and 2 touchdowns. So the 2 touchdowns are nice and the 76 yards. So not a bad day with the legs. Syracuse rush as a team, 34 carries, 242 yards, and 3 touchdowns. And that was led by the duo of George Morris II with 14 carries, 80 yards, and 0 touchdowns. And Irvin Phillips with 1 carry, 28 yards, and 1 touchdown. So a nice 28-yard carry for a touchdown for Irvin Phillips. So you look at Syracuse, you like to think they could have passed the ball a little bit better, that they probably had a little bit better chance in this game, even though they kind of hung in there all game. But their run game definitely looked pretty good. So, Slayton, Clemson looks pretty good. The defense plays pretty well. They kind of had a down game here, the defense did. They kind of let Syracuse hang in there. But as far as the offense, still didn't miss a beat, really.
Well, we talked about this before. Clemson is one of those complete teams, and they play together.
Mm-hmm.
And even when the defense is struggling, that offense took over.
Yep.
And they got it done, quite frankly, because there about midway through the third, you thought, man, Syracuse might pull this off. And then they ran away with it.
Yep.
So they did a great job this game. their athletes took over. I mean, let's be honest. They had more athletes than Syracuse.
Yeah, for sure.
And Syracuse, they did a great job of staying in this game as long as they did.
Yeah.
Because I thought this could have easily been a 45-10 slobber knocker. So, we'll see how Clemson does, but they weren't playing their best game, and they still got the W. And that's always important.
The thing I keep pointing to about Clemson, we've seen them time and time again the past couple of seasons. They get to these adverse situations and they choke. And this year they've been in a lot of adverse situations, tough spots in games, and they've somehow pulled it out. And that's why I have more confidence in Clemson this year than I have in the past seasons.
This team looks very similar to 2 years ago with Florida State.
Yeah.
They kind of come out of nowhere, and you're like, when are they going to mess up?
Yeah.
It's just a matter of time. They just keep rolling.
Yeah, that is a perfect – and they got a good quarterback. He's in the Heisman race. They got a good defense. Not a bad run game. Yeah, that's a very good person. And, hey, they're out of the same side on the same conference.
Yep.
So, yeah. But, yeah, got faith in Clemson. Clemson looks pretty good. But they got I feel like North Carolina is going to come out on the other side of the ACC. And that's not looking like as easy of a game as it was going to be for Clemson.
No, that offense for North Carolina is no joke. They've been putting up points.
Yes, they have. I believe we have them in the quickest, so we'll touch on North Carolina a tad bit more when we do our quickest. So next game slate was number 8, Oklahoma State at Iowa State. We knew Oklahoma State's a pretty good team, but Iowa State at home, for some reason, they just play really well. It doesn't matter who they're playing. They actually led at half 24-14, but Oklahoma State rallies. They take the lead with 3:06 in the fourth, and they keep their perfect record, stay undefeated in the Big 12. They escape with the win 35-31. Mason Rudolph, 24 of 36, 327 yards, 1 touchdown, and 0 interceptions. So not a bad day passing ball. You want to see a couple more touchdowns, and he's usually putting up more touchdowns, but the passing yards and the no interceptions, not a bad day for the young man. He also had 7 carries for 12 yards and 0 touchdowns. So not really anything with the legs. J.W. Walsh also played. He went 2 for 2, 16 yards, 1 touchdown, and 0 interceptions. He also had 12 carries, 28 yards, and 2 touchdowns running the ball. So he had a big day running the ball. And I would like to note that passing touchdown he had was the one with 3:06 left to take the lead. So he had a very good day kind of playing that secondary quarterback role. This is not really a two-quarterback system. J.W. Walsh, he's kind of just the pace. He kind of changes the tempo of the offense. He's like, you can tell by his carries, he's more of a runner. But he had a phenomenal day, but so did Rudolph. So good play from both quarterbacks. And you really don't see that a lot when two quarterbacks play the game. As far as Oklahoma State rush as a team, 48 carries, 154 yards, and 3 touchdowns. And that was led by Chris Carson with 12 carries, 70 yards, and 1 touchdown. So not a bad day for the running back either. As far as Iowa State, Joel Landing, 11 of 22, 162 yards, 1 touchdown, and 1 interception. That 1 interception was at the very end of the game when Iowa State was trying to drive to score. So that was a big interception. And he just had an average day. But he really did the damage with his legs. 14 carries, 130 yards, and 2 touchdowns. So not a bad day running the ball for Joel Landing. As far as Iowa State rush as a team, 38 carries, 249 yards, 3 touchdowns. That was led by Mike Warren with 15 carries, 73 yards, and 0 touchdowns. So Slayton, you look at this one. Oklahoma State, they didn't necessarily play the best offensive game. We've seen them put up a lot more points and be a lot more explosive on offense. But I believe you know when a team is good, when they win these close games, when they're not playing their best ball. And that's what they did. Not saying Iowa State's just a great team, but it's one of those trick games, and they got out there with it.
Let's be honest. Iowa State, this was their Super Bowl. We wanted to see what they were going to do against an undefeated Oklahoma State. And they played great football. You alluded to Landing. He did a lot with his feet. A lot of people allude to the fact that quarterbacks, you want to keep them from taking hits during the game.
Yeah.
What most people don't realize is when your quarterback's running all game that way, he's getting tired too.
Yeah.
That guy's got fatigue just like everybody else.
Very true.
Fourth quarter, when that fatigue starts setting in, how is he going through his progressions? How is he thinking about getting the ball out?
Yep.
Is he doing everything the way he was in the first, second, and third quarter? He's not. Because he's just as tired as that defensive back is on the other end. And you saw that late. Because that last ball that he threw that was the pick was god-awful.
Yes, it was.
It was well overthrown right to the DB. It was bad.
The nail in the coffin.
Oh, it was. It sealed it. Oklahoma State, like you said, great job getting the win, even on the ugly win.
Yeah.
But that's what you got to do. We've seen Bama do it year in, year out. They've got some ugly wins, and they always put it together at the end.
Hey, Florida's had a bunch of those this year.
Look, a W is a W.
Yes, sir. Hey, a lot of people say there is no such thing as an ugly win. A win is a win. A W is a W. So those first three games we touched on, those were all the big, highly ranked teams that have a lot to play for that took care of business, Slayton.
They did. And these are all going to have big implications here at the end of the year. November is setup month.
Yes.
So we'll see what happens this last month, but things are getting gritty.
Yes, yes they are, and especially with these next three games that we're going to cover. These next three games were the highly ranked teams, teams that still have a lot to play for. Well, they don't anymore because they just didn't get the job done. And the first game we're going to touch on is Arkansas at number 9 LSU. And Slayton, this one is probably the biggest surprise for me this week. Not necessarily that I didn't think Arkansas could win this one, but it's that LSU lost this one at night, at home. And it just doesn't happen. And Arkansas just went in there and handled their business. They led it half 21-7. Their running back Collins, he has a big day. Three of their scores was over 50 yards, so they had some humongous plays, some big momentum plays, and they shut down Leonard Fournette. Not necessarily what Alabama did to him, but they held him in check, and they get out of Death Valley with the win. Handily, I would say, impressive, 31-14, and LSU drops their second game. So just to put this in perspective, everybody, 2 weeks ago, LSU's number two in the nation.
Yep.
In the college football playoff and the lead in the West. Now, they're not in the West hunt no more, and they've dropped two games, and they're in the lower half of the top 20 now.
Let's be honest about this LSU team. They gave up.
Yeah.
Bama played just as much a role in this game as they did the previous game.
Bama deflated them, man.
They did.
They really. This was not the same LSU team that played Florida at home at night couple weeks ago.
Bama stole the heart from this LSU team.
Yep.
And he put Fournette on notice. And Fournette got shut down again 2 weeks in a row.
Yeah.
This Arkansas team destroyed them at the point of attack.
Yes.
We're talking 5-6 yards per carry. Collins eating all day long.
He did eat all day long.
This quarterback got it done as well.
Yes, he did.
LSU looks sad. I mean, it was sad to watch.
Well, I wouldn't necessarily hurt my feelings. And, hey, let's give credit to Bielema. Nick Saban laid out the game plan, how to beat this team. And I think Bielema took a lot away from it. So, like we said, the quarterback, Brandon Allen, had a pretty good day, 9 of 16, 141 yards, one touchdown, and one interception. So he moved the ball against a good secondary. He had the interception, but he also had the touchdown. So he didn't necessarily do anything to really hurt Arkansas in this game besides the interception. Arkansas's rush, like we said, just absolutely ate all day. 40 carries, 299 yards, three touchdowns, and led, of course, like we said, by Alex Collins with 16 carries, 141 yards, and two touchdowns. So he absolutely had a humongous day. And Arkansas's offense had a good day, especially running the ball. LSU, their offense did not look that well. Brendan Harris, 21 of 35, 271 yards, one touchdown and one interception. And he also had negative 44 yards rushing. So Arkansas's defense was absolutely all over him all day. And, yes, the 271 yards, that's a high number for Brendan Harris, but the 35 attempts is too. Anytime Brendan Harris is having to throw it over 20 times, it's usually not a good situation for LSU. As far as LSU's rush, 30 carries for 59 yards and one touchdown. Fournette had 19 carries for 91 yards and one touchdown. Obviously, Harris's negative 44 yards hurt the team total. So Fournette, with another game under 100 yards after he was popping 150-yard games left and right like it was nothing. So, Slayton, I look at this one, and this is exactly what we expected Arkansas to do at the beginning of the season. We expected them to run the ball, run the ball, run the ball, and guess what? When you're tired and you're tired of them running the ball at you, they're going to run the ball at you some more. Because let's be honest, that's what Bielema was successful with in the Big Ten. It really was. And like you said, LSU, they look deflated, and Fournette does not look near as great, and I think it has a lot to do with his team, though not necessarily him as the athlete.
Well, I mean, at this point, teams are saying, let's throw 10 in the box, 2 on the edge, and let's play football.
Because they know they can.
Exactly. And I want to mention to you as well, with Arkansas, they did a great job proven that they belong where they are in the SEC.
Yep.
At the beginning of the year, we thought this was probably going to be one of the more dominant rushing teams in the SEC.
Yeah.
And they were a letdown up to about a week and a half, 2 weeks ago. So,
like, after the first four games, they were not looking hot whatsoever. And ever since then, they've really turned it around. And I guarantee you, whoever they got left in their schedule is not looking forward to playing them, because they've gotten kind of hot here in this little stretch right here.
They're a tough out, and they eat up time of possession.
Yep.
I mean, it was almost 3-1 on LSU. It looked bad for LSU. It's going to continue to look bad at LSU unless they show some pride and get it done.
Yep.
Good job, Arkansas. I'll touch on them a little bit later. So,
and if you don't know, Arkansas actually beat LSU last year too. And I want to say, don't quote me on this, but I want to say Les Miles coming off a loss, and when he plays at home, he's only lost three times, I believe, or he's only lost at home at night three times, and two of those have been to Arkansas, something like that. Arkansas pretty much somehow owns Les Miles in LSU here recently. Don't know how, kind of surprising, but good game for Arkansas. I think Bielema was definitely cooled off his hot seat, because I think his seat was a little hot here at the beginning of the season.
They need to make a bowl game.
Expectations are starting to get a little high for them. Because he talks a lot of crap.
That's
he talks
thing.
A lot of mess.
If he keeps his mouth shut, he's never on the hot seat.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the truth.
Yeah.
And he continues to open his mouth. At this point, when you beat LSU this way, talk your smack.
Yeah.
But know that you got a game this next week to get ready for.
Yep, that is true. And I believe they got a tough game left on the schedule, if not maybe even two, with some West opponents. So, Slate, next game. This game was also surprising to me.
Blew my mind.
Yeah, and that was Oregon at number 7, Stanford. And Stanford led 23-21 at half. So you're thinking, all right, Stanford's got control of this. They'll hold Oregon's offense down in the second half. They'll score a little bit more. And they did score a little bit more. But Oregon scores more. They stop a two-point conversion with 10 seconds left from Stanford. And Oregon spoils Stanford's playoff run, 38-36. Oregon's offense finally looked a little bit like the old offense we're used to seeing from Oregon. Vernon Adams Jr., the highly, highly recruited junior college athlete, 10 of 12, 205 yards, 2 touchdowns, and 0 interceptions. He also had 8 carries for negative 11 yards, so didn't do much on his legs. And for only 12 attempts to have 205 yards and 2 touchdowns, that means they made some big plays in the past game. And probably one of the better games he's had since he's been there at Oregon. As far as Oregon's rush, as a team, 36 carries, 231 yards, and 3 touchdowns. So they absolutely ate it up on the ground. As far as Stanford's offense, they really didn't have that bad of a day. Kevin Hogan, 28 of 37, 304 yards, 2 touchdowns, and 1 interception. You don't like the 1 interception, but the 2 touchdowns and the 304 yards, not a bad day for the young man. 11 carries for 48 yards and 1 touchdown, so not a bad day running the ball either with the touchdown. Stanford's rush as a team, 47 carries, 202 yards, and 2 touchdowns. And that was led, of course, by McCaffrey with 33 carries, 147 yards, and 1 touchdown. So with the amount of carries McCaffrey got, you would like to see him get a little bit more yardage, but still not a bad day for the young man. But what the story of this was it stopped two-point conversion and Oregon going for two and getting theirs when they scored to take the lead. And Stanford also had 2 botched snaps that end up being costly on some key drives. So Slayton, I really thought Stanford was one of the better teams. I thought they really got their stuff together, had got their defense together. Offense was playing pretty solid. We had seen an up-and-down kind of year for Hogan, but he didn't necessarily have that bad of a day. And usually when he has a good day, Stanford wins. But this was kind of Oregon's Super Bowl too, and they're actually still in the Pac-12 hunt with this win. And the Pac-12 is a mess now, Slayton.
Yeah, they just blew the whole bracket up.
Yeah.
The fact that they're still in contention is mind-blowing in itself.
It probably blew the Pac-12's chance of a playoff spot.
Oh, without a doubt. I don't see any of these Pac-12 teams making it in now.
Nope.
Because I believe every team at least has 2 losses.
If not 3.
If not 3.
Yeah.
And with 2 losses, you're not – there's no way you make it into the playoff. And if you do, I guess you got to be Bama and be willing to sell tickets. I don't know. Oregon blew my mind with this game. I don't understand how they win this, but they drop these other games.
Yeah.
They've
also been playing a little bit better down the stretch too. We've seen them play better, but I definitely was not even expecting them to keep up with Stanford. I thought Stanford was a tier ahead of them.
Oh, yeah. It was one of the games I got wrong last week. I thought Stanford was going to roll them.
I believe this is the football gods because we've seen Stanford time and time again. Like we said last week, it's usually Stanford, Oregon, spoiling Oregon's chances at playoff spots or BCS games back in the day. And I think the football gods said, hey, Stanford, time to give you a little bit of your own medicine. We're going to let Oregon get y'all back for all the times that you have ruined their season, ruined their runs to the playoffs. So, good win for Oregon. Like we said last week, it's good to see Oregon competing again, unlike they were at the beginning of the season. It's good to see that program still have life because it's better when they're good.
Yeah, football is always better when Oregon's decent.
I mean, they're the freshest team looking.
Well, they
looking
are. That stadium atmosphere is one of the best in the country as well.
True.
Alton's amazing.
Yeah.
So, good for them getting this win. I wish they were doing better this year. We'd have more to talk about.
That is true. But, hey, good win for them. Bad loss for Stanford.
Yeah, horrible.
It really was.
What does this do for McCaffrey?
It definitely – I wouldn't necessarily say he was in the Heisman running really. He might have been for like a week or two because he had like, I believe, one or two 200-yard games or a little bit close to 200 yards.
Does he even go to New York?
Nah.
No?
No. I think in New York right now you're probably looking at Watson – Henry, I believe you're looking at Reynolds from Navy.
Yeah.
And I still think, depending on what Fournette does rest of the season, he might get an invite. But if he doesn't, you might would say Mayfield from Oklahoma, I would think.
Yeah, I'd say Mayfield's probably working his way into that
race. Yeah, because he's had some big games. And, hey, speaking of Baker Mayfield, that will perfectly segue us into this next game. And this was probably the biggest game of the week. I would say it was. This was the one I was the most excited for because I wanted to see what these two teams were made of. And that was number 12, Oklahoma, at number 6, Baylor. And I really wanted to see what Baylor was made of. And Oklahoma went there and took care of the business. They led at half, 20-13. The Mayfield Sterling Shepard connection, absolutely fantastic all night. Ends the FBS best 20-game home win streak for Baylor. Oklahoma goes in and wins 44-34. Baker Mayfield, 24 of 34, 270 yards, 3 touchdowns, and only 1 interception. So not a bad day. 15 carries for 76 yards and 1 touchdown. So he actually also had a very good day running the ball. As far as Oklahoma's run game as a team, 53 carries, 241 yards, and 3 touchdowns, and that was led by Perrine with 28 carries, 166 yards, and 2 touchdowns. So Oklahoma's offense had their way with Baylor's defense most of the night, which was surprising because Baylor has a pretty good defense. As far as Baylor's offense, Stidham went 16-27, 257 yards, 2 touchdowns, and 2 interceptions. So he definitely got brought back down to earth from his performance last week with the 3 touchdowns and no interceptions. As far as Baylor's rush as a team, 44 carries, 159 yards, and 3 touchdowns. And that was led by the duo of Shaquan Wood with 21 carries, 103 yards, and 0 touchdowns. And then also Devin Chaffin, 13 carries for 49 yards, and he had all 3 of the running touchdowns. So Slayton, I picked Oklahoma to win this one. I think Oklahoma's the hottest team right now. I think maybe besides Bama, I think they're the scariest team. I don't think nobody's wanting to play them. And the stats, yes, you can tell Baker Mayfield had a great game, but if you didn't watch this one, go back and watch the highlights of this one. This man played out of his mind. And you know who it reminded me of, Slayton? Johnny Manziel against Alabama. It really did. It really did. He reminds me so much of Johnny Manziel, and he's actually probably a little bit of a cleaner player than Manziel is.
Well, there were plays that he would dodge 3 or 4 defensive players, make the throw.
Played out of his mind, and we've seen it. I mean, he did against Tennessee too. We see that this kid can take over games.
Well, he has that Manziel style play. Sometimes he makes too much of a play.
Yeah, he tries to do too much. Yes,
but if he can cut that out of his game, this team is so dangerous.
Yes.
And their defense is solid. They play well.
And Perrine's came around, too. That was what they were missing at the beginning of the season. He wasn't playing very well.
Perrine has got it done.
Yeah.
And especially over this, last 4 weeks, probably, he's really got it done. And once Oklahoma can run the ball at you, you got to step into the box and stop it.
Yeah.
And then you got Shepard on the outside. I would love to see this Oklahoma team play Bama. I really would.
They would match up very well. And, hey, last time Oklahoma and Bama played, Oklahoma handled Alabama.
Exactly.
And you know who the quarterback of that team was? It was your boy Baker Mayfield, I'm pretty sure, when he was, I believe, a sophomore, I believe. He might be a sophomore now. I might just be talking off the top of my head. But, hey, last time Oklahoma and Bama played and lined up, I believe it was a Sugar Bowl, Oklahoma handled him. And that would be a very good matchup. Oklahoma's very dimensional with Shepherd on the outside, Perrine, and then you got Mayfield against Bama's front seven. That'd be a very good matchup to watch.
Well, that Oklahoma defense, they're not going to back down from Alabama's offense either.
Yeah.
And they're going to play lights out just like Bama would against
– and Oklahoma's D's playing well too. To hold Baylor at 34, that's an accomplishment.
Well, you got Stryker coming off the edge. He's one of the best rushers in the country. I mean, let's not kid ourselves. He's probably one of the top three rushers in the draft. So we'll see what happens with him. But this Oklahoma defense all around – front to back is solid. They're probably not a top 10 defense.
Yep.
But they're fast enough and they play fast enough to confuse you and do what they need to get done.
You know what's the worst part about Oklahoma? They shouldn't have lost to Texas. I'm sorry. A rivalry for you, though.
That's the whole thing. I mean,
like, think if this team was undefeated right now, they would be the pick of the Big 12.
They would easily be a 1 or 2 seed.
Yeah, for sure.
That loss to Texas shot them in the foot.
It really will, and it might bite them. You never know.
I'm going to be honest. That loss to Texas is – it's going to be hard to make a case for that.
Yeah.
It really is. Texas has played bad. We've lost to a lot of bad opponents.
Yeah.
So that loss looks even worse seeing who Texas has played throughout the year.
That is true, but, hey, like we said, the month of November is when the boys separate from the men, and so far Oklahoma is definitely looking like a man who is coming to bully – up on some Baylor boys.
It's coming.
Yeah, Oklahoma's looked very, very good since they've lost to y'all. That's the one thing I would – yes, that loss was bad, but at the same time, you look at Oklahoma since then, absolutely phenomenal. Have played out of their mind.
The only downside to Oklahoma truly is if Notre Dame's still there at one loss,
yep,
there's no way that they even compare because that one loss for Notre Dame's
Clemson. Neither one of them have a championship game, though.
That's true, but Notre Dame's only loss is a number one Clemson.
That is true.
So, I mean, that's a huge.
I see what you're saying. Yeah, that. Yeah. Well, you got to kind of take that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you never know. But, hey, there's still a couple more games. We're getting towards the end of the season here.
I told you at
you
the
did?
Beginning of the year
that
Oklahoma was going to drop some one game and then mess up the entire conference.
Yeah, that's what you
said. It's what's going
to
happen.
You picked them to win, and I called you crazy. But you might be right.
It's happening. I mean, I couldn't have called it any better than this.
You really couldn't.
I mean, this is almost the epitome of what I said.
Exactly what you said. So, Oklahoma looking absolutely great. And I was saying they need to get rid of Bob Stoops, but he looks like he's got this team going. So, hopping to our two teams real quick. Slayton, my boys, they played South Carolina. They led at half 14-0. And for 3.5 quarters, absolutely dominated. I believe halfway through the third quarter, I want to say South Carolina was in single digits running the ball, and they only had like 40-something yards passing, so they only had like 50-something total yards, and they were absolutely dominating. And then towards the end of the game, they let South Carolina get two touchdowns kind of quick, kind of back-to-back, so our offense kind of sputtered. But at the very last drive we had, we drive it down, Kelvin breaks a big run, and we take the victory. 24-14, so it wasn't pretty, but hey, we keep winning, and that's exactly what we need to do. Trayon didn't play that great. 19 of 33, 256 yards, one touchdown, and two interceptions. He also had 10 carries for 16 yards, so had a decent amount of yardage, moved the ball, but the two interceptions, that's what he cannot do. And I'll say the two interceptions this week, those were on him. I felt like the offensive line played a whole lot better than they did last week and gave him a lot more time. I felt like his poor performance, or I wouldn't say it was poor, but his below-average performance was more on him this week. As far as Florida running the ball, 43 carries, 148 yards, two touchdowns, led by Kelvin, of course, 20 carries, 105 yards, and one touchdown. And Cronkright also had six carries for 24 yards and one touchdown, and he also had a receiving touchdown, which was dirty because he kind of just stole it from the DB. As far as Kelvin, I still want to see him have more yards. I just feel like he just ain't explosive enough or something. I don't know what it is. I don't know what he's missing. He's a good running back. He takes care of the ball. I just don't know what it is. And Scarlett didn't have a good day. He had like four carries and he had negative yards, so he did not have a good day once again. So we're going to have to be able to run the ball better. We're going to have to be better offensively if we want a chance at Bama. I mean, I'm not going to be dumb about it and sit here and lie to you and say Florida has a very good chance at the way they're playing right now. But the only reason they would have a chance is because of their defense. DeBoer had an interception. I believe they gives him four on the season. And Quincy Wilson also had one. So we had two picks. So the defense played well. I want to say the touchdowns came towards the end of the game because I want to say we kind of relaxed. We DBs kind of got more in a prevent kind of style instead of playing more press like we like to play. But we still get the victory. Slayton, so what do you think about this one?
Florida did a great job of getting the corrections done after half.
Yeah.
South Carolina, that's what they do well. They go into the locker room, they see what they're being given, and they take advantage of
it. Yeah.
I saw that at the Tennessee game a couple weeks ago, and I mean, that's what they do well. I don't know if this coach is going to end up with the actual job.
I don't believe so.
But I mean, to see what he's done with South Carolina, they're playing better than they were under Spurrier.
Oh.
Let's be honest.
For sure.
And they're showing a little bit of passion. They're getting after it. They're not going to compete with Florida. Florida could have probably played their worst game and still beat South Carolina.
Like they did last week?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. They would have lost if they had played like they did last week.
I don't know. I mean, Florida, that defense is so solid.
They are. They really are.
They're a staple to that team. Special teams as well. They get it done on special teams, and there's not a great light on that. But they don't wow you with their special teams, but they don't make mistakes.
Yeah, they're consistent.
And that's what it's all about.
Yeah. And we got Callaway and Hargreaves. They're both dangerous if they get the chance to return the ball. Callaway had another great game. He is definitely our main receiver. We thought that might be D-Rob, but he's just not consistent enough. Callaway, I'm so glad he's a freshman because he is going to be a phenomenal player.
You know who he reminds me of?
What's
Michael
that?
Crabtree.
Yeah.
He really does. He plays just like Crabtree.
He has
did.
Some great hands, and he also
– He's bigger bodied, too.
Yeah, and he's like – He's elusive. He really is, like, to be a kind of a bigger guy.
Yeah. Now, don't get me wrong. He's not Calvin Johnson or anything
like
that.
No.
But this guy is good enough that he gives you a number one target, and he's going to draw some
doubles. He's a playmaker. That's what
exactly.
I call him.
Exactly. And he's going to draw some of those double teams
and
free up some of those other guys.
It's freed up our tight ends a lot.
Exactly.
It really has. So, my boys, wasn't pretty. Once again, I'm hoping – I swear, though, Florida, if y'all don't – whoop up on Florida Atlantic this week. I'm going to be angry. I really am because these last two games, y'all kept it a little too close for my comfort. But, hey, y'all still winning, so it's all good in White Boy Stew's neighborhood. So, Slayton, it is not good in your neighborhood.
It's not.
Texas visits West Virginia. I had them losing. I believe you had them losing as well.
I did.
And it wasn't surprising. West Virginia, 38-20.
This Jay Norvell offense is anemic. And what I mean by that is they show no iron. I'm dead serious. They don't. This is the weakest offense I've ever seen out of Texas.
It's so inconsistent.
It's not only that. They try this dink and dunk crap. We get behind the eight ball, so we get to 3rd and 7, 3rd and 8. And then we're playing, and they know we can't throw the ball effectively. So they're rushing 3 or they're rushing 4 down linemen and playing off the ball.
Yeah.
And it's killing us. Because not only is it hurting us offensively, it's killing our defense.
Yeah.
Our defense is on the field so much, it's ridiculous to look at the time of possession in some of these games.
I'm sure.
And West Virginia is not a team that you want to give extra possessions to.
No.
They're historically known for putting up points.
Definitely.
So, I don't know what to say about this Texas team. One week, they play like Goliath. The other week, they play like Jane.
Here's the question, Slayton. Charlie staying, or is he going? That's the question with Texas now.
Let's be honest.
Because they're not making a bowl.
In his best interest, he needs to go. For his best interest. Because if he stays with Texas, they're going to continue to lose, and he's not going to be able to get a job elsewhere.
That is true. He might need to strike while the iron's still somewhat hot.
Exactly. And with Miami out there looking, he's got ties.
Yep.
So we'll see what happens.
And I really see the Miami job. I see an African-American coach getting hired there. I really do. Because I feel like they feel like that's what they need there to kind of – get their little swag back that they had, that they've always had when they've been great.
They've got to get back to recruiting the state of Florida.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, that's truly what it is.
Yeah.
And they keep losing out. You look at all the amazing teams that are actually in Florida, though. They got a lot to compete with.
Yeah.
And
got to compete with Matt.
Well,
and Jimbo.
Jimbo. FAU's pulling decent recruits. They really
so
are.
So is UCF.
Yeah.
I mean, Bortles. So, I mean, yeah. So, who knows? So, let's go ahead and move in to our quick hits First game, number 21, Memphis at number 24, Houston Slayton. Memphis had this one, but they lose. 35-14, they let Houston rally. Memphis drops two in a row, Slayton, and they drop out of the rankings.
You blew it!
You blew it!
Killing me. Just killing me with this Memphis. 2 weeks in a row. I really hope we don't drop three. I really hope.
Well, I hate to tell you, but I got them dropping three.
I've got them close.
They've looked like a completely different team these past 2 weeks. They look better than they did last week in this game. They're still missing that explosiveness for some reason.
They are. They keep starting out slow.
Yep.
Houston is not a team to start out slow on.
No. And Houston started slow, let's be honest.
Well, that Houston team, their defense gets it done. I don't know how they do it, but they create so many turnovers.
They really do.
And they've done it consistently. It's not like it's this
kind of sporadic thing.
Yeah, it's been happening game in, game out.
Yeah.
So kudos to their defensive coordinator because he is getting it done. Memphis, you want to see more? I want to see more.
Yeah, they're letting us down. But, hey, we still riding with you, Memphis.
Although, let's be honest.
They're going to make a bowl game. So, I mean, at least they got that going.
Let's be honest, though. When's the last time we talked about Memphis besides this year?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Never.
So, they're still on the up, technically.
Yeah, we'll take it.
Yeah.
Next game, Minnesota at number 5, Iowa. Iowa pulls this one out. 40-35, say we knew this was going to be physical, a lot of running, and Iowa won the run battle, which is not surprising.
Well, we knew that both of these teams were going to run the ball nonstop.
Yep.
We knew that Iowa was a little bit better. They may not be completely better, but they were better.
Yep.
So, good win for Iowa. It's like we called it.
It's one of those little tricky ones. Even though it was at their house, Minnesota, still a team that's going to come in and go blow for blow with you. And we've seen them keep up with a lot of good teams this year. So, not a bad win for Iowa. And next game, number 10, Utah at Arizona. Utah was still in the Pac-12 lead. They still had a good chance to get to the Pac-12 championship and maybe somehow sneak their way into the playoff. Not no mo. Arizona gets a victory 37-30. Slayton, the Pac-12 is a mess. Like I said about 15 minutes ago, it is a mess, man.
I called it. Arizona getting it done. They always pull this late in the year.
This and happens in the Pac-12 every year.
That's what I'm saying. Arizona, they always find that way to win that night game.
Yeah.
Every time.
And they did. And we've talked about Utah plenty of times this year. They haven't looked like the same team that they did at the beginning of the season. I mean, it's crazy to think this team put up 60-something on Oregon at one time at the beginning of the season, and now they're doing good to put up 30. So, next game, number 3, Ohio State at Illinois. Slayton, Ohio State takes care of business once again against another sloppy team, 28-3. But guess what? They about to start playing some people finally.
This was a sloppy game for them to be playing, let's be honest.
And they kind of played sloppy.
They did.
Like they have every game.
That defense, though, showed up. I want to say they held to 3 points.
We're talking about Illinois, though.
It's still impressive to hold any team to 3 points. Most people can get in the end zone at least once, even if it's late in the game on a gimme.
Yeah.
So, Illinois, you got to do something, Illinois. Do something.
Yeah, do something as an injured football program because for the whole entire time I've been alive, y'all have been absolutely terrible in my Charles Barkley voice. So next game, Wake Forest at number 4, Notre Dame. Notre Dame takes care of business 28-7. Slayton, Wake Forest is horrible too.
They are. They're terrible. If Notre Dame does anything less than 4 touchdowns.
Notre Dame didn't really play that hot this game either.
They didn't. And that's saying a lot because they still scored 4 touchdowns.
Yeah, it just tells you how horrible Wake Forest is. So, next game, Maryland at number 13, Michigan State. Michigan State wins 24-7. Slayton, I take two things out of this one. One, at least they won, so good bounce back victory after that tough loss last week. But two, we see them not necessarily handle a horrible team like Maryland like they should once again.
Maryland is in disarray right now. I don't even know comprehending all the situations that are happening there.
How many teams did Michigan State beat 24-7 this year? I feel like that's the final score of their game every single week almost.
That's the game plan.
Like every time they play like a below par team, they beat them 24-7.
That's the game plan. Keep your hat and get out of there.
Yeah, they like write it on the wristband. They're like 24-7. Yep. That's all we're shooting for. So next game. Number 14, Michigan at Indiana. Slayton, this one goes to 2 overtimes, but Michigan pulls it out 48-41. Slayton, we knew Indiana. We've seen them keep up with a bunch of good teams here. We knew this was going to be a slob knocker, especially with them at home. So a good win for Michigan to pull this one out on the road.
This is a good game for Indy as well.
Yes, it is.
They pushed Michigan to the brink, and quite frankly, they had a chance there at the end.
Hey, to score 41 points in that D, impressive.
Exactly. That D, I would say, is a top 10 defense.
Yeah.
Indy, they're on the up and up.
Yeah.
They're not there this year, but they're going to get there because they're playing these great teams very close.
Yes, they have. So. They've not looked bad this year. So, next game, Kansas at number 15, TCU. TCU wins 23-17. This is horrible. Kansas hasn't won a game, and TCU barely beats them. Slayton, TCU's kind of like LSU. Their stock in the past 2 weeks just went.
TCU won this game and dropped 3 spots. That ought to tell you how terrible Kansas is.
Yeah, so that's all we need to say. Boykin didn't have a good day. He actually got injured, and they had to play a backup the rest of the game.
Yeah, I'm not sure when he's coming back.
If so. I was him, I wouldn't want to come back because they're downtrending right now. But next game, SMU at number 20, Navy. Navy takes care of business, 55-14, and Slayton Reynolds looked pretty good again.
Oh, I'd love to see a kid out of the Mid-State come and do his thing.
Yeah, and he is shaking it, especially running the ball. He had a couple of big runs, and I believe he set this week the all-time record for rushing touchdowns by a quarterback.
Good for him.
So that's impressive because, you know, someone close to my heart used to have that record a long time ago.
Well, he did this at Navy.
Yeah.
Let's be honest. He did this at Navy.
Yeah, that's impressive.
It's very
impressive. I mean, they kind of had the offense to do it, but still – being at Navy, not necessarily the best situation to be in to be a football player.
How many quarterbacks you know that survive at Navy, though? I mean, really.
Yeah, but how many years has Reynolds been the quarterback in Navy? They give him like 8-year scholarships at Navy for being in the academy or something.
Look, if you're willing to go die overseas, you play as much football as you want.
Yeah, dude, I really hope Reynolds gets invited to the Heisman. I really do because I believe if anybody represents what the Heisman should represent or what it supposedly represents – it is that young man.
Navy is a university.
What he's having to go through just every day to be in the Navy and then perform like this on the field as well, it's absolutely impressive.
The mental toughness you have to be at the University of Navy.
Yes.
I mean, seriously. Their schedule is packed, jammed tight, not even including football.
Yeah.
Let's talk about all their daily activities and that. And then they got to handle football. And then you got academics. Let's not kid ourselves. Academics are Navy. Top 25 in the country.
Yeah.
And we don't send stupid people overseas, I promise you. Like, this kid's smart.
Not the people that's going to the Naval Academy.
Exactly.
So, yeah, I hope to see the Mid-State guy in there. And I really think he's got a good chance, especially if he keeps playing the way he is. So, next game, number 22, Temple at South Florida. Slayton, another one of our teams we were high on, Temple. They get smacked 44-23 by a not that very good South Florida team.
South Florida, this was their Super Bowl. Let's be honest.
Yep.
It really was. They dressed like it was their Super Bowl.
Yeah, so the Stockton America Conference with Temple and Memphis have dropped very fast, and Toledo.
And it's killing Houston in the polls in this show.
Yeah, it is. Hey, but as long as Houston keeps winning, there, I believe they can get a New Year's Eve bowl for sure. So, next game was Miami at number 23, North Carolina, and North Carolina absolutely wipes the floor of Miami. 59-21. Slayton, North Carolina is looking pretty dang good coming out of ACC. Maybe the dark horse for the playoff, I would say. And Miami's just horrible.
This is what, 4 or 5 weeks with 50 plus?
Yeah.
They're putting up points and they're putting them up angrily, too.
They might be that one team that can score with Clemson.
Maybe. I don't know if that North Carolina defense is going to hang with Clemson, but if they can score on Clemson's D.
Yeah.
They'll be right there at the
end.
Hey,
that ACC game, I wasn't going to be interested at all. It's looking like it's going to be.
It's shaping up.
It's shaping up to be a pretty dang good one. It might be better than the SEC one is by the end of the day, just to be honest. So, next game was Kentucky at Vandy. I didn't give these teams enough credit because they didn't just kick field goals. They actually scored some touchdowns. But Vandy gets the win 21-17. So, good for Vandy. Two SEC East wins this year. So, if you can say anything about Vandy – they're improving little by little.
You want to know what the best thing you can say about Vandy is? They're not last.
Yes.
They're truly not.
Little by little, Vandy has improved this season. And the defenses look phenomenally better. They got two SEC wins, which they did not get last year, and they got about the same amount of victories.
Let's be honest. This Vandy team is going to play Tennessee tough, especially the way Dobbs is struggling right now.
Yeah.
If he can't use his legs and get mobile on this Vandy team, it's going to be a long day.
Yeah, for sure. And, hey – speaking of Dobbs, let's go to their game. Next game, North Texas. This was UT's homecoming at the Rocky Top. And Tennessee was not impressive at all. They were kind of just sleepwalking through this game. But North Texas is horrible, obviously. They get the victory 24-21. And Slayton, I kind of agree with you. Let's kind of talk about Vandy and UT real quick. I think Vandy's D can keep up with UT's offense, and it's not like UT's defense is just the greatest thing ever. So maybe, you know, never know, Vandy might can make some opportunities. And this game's coming up very soon.
This Tennessee team, it looked like they were finding their way into the passing game, and they just can't do it. Even when it's there, it's not there for them.
It's like they build up this momentum, and you're like, all right, this is the time they take that step. They're getting it all together, and then it's like someone just pops the balloon, and it kind of just deflates back down, and they kind of just got to pump it back up again.
Yep. Every time they jump out, they do great in the first half. That second half, they trail off a little bit, and then they got to play to the wall at the end of the game.
Hey, I'm telling you, 17-point leads hurt them.
I mean,
they need to start going for two or not even kicking the extra point so they don't even have a possibility to get to 16. I mean, to 17, that way they're 16 or 18 or 19, that way they don't have to deal with 17 points because it's their kryptonite. Even though they didn't lose this game, I know that's the biggest point of this game. They just got to keep winning to have a good season at the end of the year. But still, you want to see them be more impressive against a North Texas team that's horrible.
Well, shout out to them for getting the goose egg.
Yeah.
That's always hard to do. We mentioned that a little bit earlier.
Yeah.
But once again, you put up 24 teams. This North Texas team is sad. The Western, what, Carolina Catamounts put up a better fight than this team did.
Yep.
And they're a Division II school. So we'll see what happens on the rest of the year with Tennessee.
Yeah.
But they got some tough roads ahead.
That Vandy UT game is going to be very interesting. It is a 3:30 game, so it might end up being the SEC game of the week. But maybe not because there's Auburn, Alabama. But, hey.
It's on the SEC Network.
Okay, cool, cool. So, last game, Georgia at Auburn. Georgia gets a victory. They score some touchdowns, 20-13. A good W for Georgia. I really do believe that because they're going to have that consistent middle-of-the-road season once again. And Auburn had looked a lot better. And at least this game was competitive.
It's any given week in the SEC.
Yeah.
It truly is. You see this Auburn team go and they play Texas A&M and they drub them.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not like it's ever close. They sit there and run through them, and then they get to Georgia.
Yeah.
And Georgia's not known for their offense this year.
No.
They're minus a star caliber running back.
Good rotating carousel at quarterback.
Yeah. I mean, this is a Georgia team that honestly, I don't know that we should be talking about. Shout out to all of our friends who are Georgia fans, but they've been pretty terrible this year.
Hey, Wes got mad at me because we didn't pick the Georgia game last week. He's like, hey, I'm a dedicated listener. I want you to cover it. So, hey, we please our listeners. So, at least we reviewed your game, Wes. Your boys got the victory.
They did.
Good for them. So, those are all the games from this weekend that we wanted to touch on. So, Slant, let's go ahead and hop into our what's up and what's down. So, let's start with the what's down this week. I want to end the what's up, what's down segment this week kind of on a high note. So what's your what's down this week?
Yeah, my what's down, probably one of the saddest stories we've heard all year. Mizzou's Gary Pinkel gets diagnosed with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma.
Yeah.
It's a pretty horrible disease, people. Keep them in your prayers. This is much bigger than football.
It's not curable.
It's not. It's much bigger than football. One of the probably the worst what's downs we've had all year.
Yeah, for sure.
It's sad to hear.
For sure. It's even worse than the Steve Spurrier one retiring, obviously because he's got the lymphoma. And just you can tell how much he cares about the University of Missouri and how much he cares about them student-athletes. And those are his sons. They really are.
If you didn't watch that
press conference,
the podium speech, if you want to see a coach that loves his kids, Gary Pinkel's it.
If you want to see the post game after the game this past and his players came around, you could tell it meant so much to him. And I definitely agree with you saying that is horrible, horrible news.
I'm getting chills just talking about it. I really am.
Yeah, he's been an absolutely phenomenal coach. He's done everything the correct way.
He's taken Missouri to new levels.
Yes,
so let's not kid ourselves.
Everywhere he's been as a coach, he's done
great
things.
He's done great things. He's done it the right way.
Yeah.
And he's made young men into great men.
Yes.
And he's done it at every level, D2, D1, and now at Missouri in the SEC.
Yeah.
He fostered them from the Big 12 to the SEC.
And won two East titles.
Exactly.
The first year is impressive.
Impressive.
Yeah.
Sad to hear about Gary Pinkel.
Yeah, if that doesn't show you how great of a man this guy was and how great of a coach he is, then nothing will. So, yes, Slayton, definitely agree with you on that. What's down? My what's down, I don't even compare to that. My what's down was Memphis losing this week. They letting us down. Not good. So let's get a little bit more cheerful in here.
Here we go.
What's your what's up this week, Slayton?
My what's up, even though it leaves blood in my mouth to say this, Oklahoma. Hot since losing to Texas. They may very well play into a playoff.
Yeah, I think they got a pretty good chance. Obviously, they got the big games left. I hope the Big 12 does this from here on out until they get a championship game, because it may, even though the first couple months of the season is boring for the Big 12, there's some, you know, good games sprinkled there in, you know, here and there in there, but it makes November a hell of a month to watch the Big 12 conference.
It does. And we'll see what happens in late November. I've got a second what's up as well. Arkansas playing like they should have at the beginning of the year.
Yep.
If they had played like this all year long, we're sitting here talking about them possibly winning the West.
Yeah, maybe just only having one loss to maybe Alabama, really. So, because that was really the only team that kind of handled them in a way. Well, they got kind of – I mean, they've got
they
some
competed.
Losses. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, my what's up of the week – Florida getting the W, go undefeated in the East. I don't care how down the East is. Anytime you beat every single team in the East and you get past them tricky East games, impressive, especially for the first-year coach and with a decently young ball club. Absolutely impressive. And Slayton, the best what's up, though, didn't really see no bad calls this week. No
exactly.
Bad calls from the refs.
We don't have to bash the refs this week.
I didn't really see no bad targetings. Didn't see no bad pass interference. Didn't see them botching, you know, the review at the end of the game or nothing. So, the officials listen to us. I'm telling you.
I'm telling you, every week we get new listeners.
Yeah, I'm telling you. They're listening to us. So good job, officials. Keep it up. So, Slayton, let's hop into our jerseys of the week. Who is your jersey of the week this week?
Yeah, I had to go with Mizzou. Even with all the backstory going on, they looked fresh this week.
All white, even the logo.
Yeah, all white, the logo, the black numbers, the silver accents. It just looked clean.
Yeah.
It was nice.
Hey, white on white is one of my favorite football combinations you can do with the uniform. It's one of my, not my favorite outfit that Florida wears. So I'm a big, big fan of the all white, or as what Tennessee fans call theirs, the Stormtroopers.
Well, it's the best way to tell if your quarterback's having a good game. If his
yep.
jersey's clean,
yeah,
you're doing good.
That's right. That's right. So my jersey of the week was there wasn't really no change, but it was Mississippi State's. There was nothing different about them, but Jamal Peters, he's usually number two. He wears the late teammate Keith Joseph's number. Keith Joseph died in a car wreck last week with his dad late last week. So a great way to honor a fallen teammate. I know that's a hard situation for them. So for him to honor his fallen teammate like that, a great thing. So I want to make sure to give him a shout-out on Jersey of the Week. I know it's kind of a little different style of Jersey of the Week, but a great – great honorable thing for him to do. So, Slayton, great hour, first hour of the show. We're going to take a commercial break right quick. Make sure to check out all of our awesome sponsors, and we will be right back here at the 10 for 10 U.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's time to get fresh. It's time to get a little clean. We'll go to the man himself, the master, Jason Neely. 13 years of experience as a barber. Haircuts are $12, flat tops are $14. Located in White House, Tennessee at 147 Raymond Hirsch Parkway. Give Jason the master a call today at 615-440-3049.
What it do? It's your boy, White Boy Stew. And if you're having 10 for 10 Network withdrawal Sunday through Friday, it's okay, because here at the 10 for 10 Network, we have the antidote for you. You can follow us on Facebook or Twitter at the 10 for 10 Network. If you like to follow Johnny on Twitter, it's at Johnny Showtime. If you want to follow me, White Boy Stew, on Twitter, it's at GoGators_SNT. So make sure to like and share, and you never know, you might just hear your name on the air.
ever wanted some custom furniture or maybe some professional work done to give your house that country feel? Well, check out Johnson's Woodwork in Portland, Tennessee, where they take reclaimed oak and barn wood to spruce up your house. Give David Johnson a call today at 615-419-5350, where the wood is good. Are you looking for a place to train? Looking for a place to become a champion? Well, look no further, as UFC Gym is coming to Hendersonville, Tennessee in early September. UFC Gym offers all kinds of options and specialties for training, such as weights, self-defense, kids' classes, and even highly qualified training in jiu-jitsu. Go by there today or give them a call at 615-348-4150 and tell them the 10 for 10 sent you, because that's where champions are made.
Welcome back to class here at the 10 for 10. You make sure to go check out all of the awesome sponsors for the 10 for 10 Network. We appreciate everything that they do for us here at the 10 for 10 Network. You can follow the 10 for 10 Network on Twitter and Facebook at the 10 for 10 Network. You can follow me, the host, White Boy Stew, on Twitter at GoGators_SNT, or you can follow me on Facebook under my government name, and that's Stuart Thompson, and that's with the EW, not the U. I want to give a shout out to my family, as always, for holding me down. I want to give a shout out to my co-host Slayton, because his birthday is tomorrow. So I want to give a birthday shout out to him. And I also want to give a shout out to everybody who came out to your birthday party this weekend and then came back to my house. We had a little bonfire, had a great time. Great to get everybody together. So shout out to all of our great friends. Like, we had an awesome time. It's always a good time when we all get together and do some adult things that we like to do and drink some things that we like to drink. So, Slayton, would you like to give a shout out to anybody this week?
I do. I would also like to thank everybody that came out and had a good time with us. That's great. I want to give a shout out to everybody listening to this on my birthday.
Yes.
Shout out to them, because you're giving me a reason to keep recording.
Yeah.
So, also, shout out to Maggie. I give her a shout out every week.
Who's that?
Maggie Moo.
Maggie Moo? Who's that? I don't know who that is.
That would be my beautiful, caring wife.
Oh, okay. I didn't even know you was married.
Yeah. Yeah, you did. You were there.
Yeah, I was there, actually. I was right beside you, actually.
Indeed. I want to shout out especially to Matt McCoyne.
Yeah, shout out to our boy.
Exactly. In town for the week. Great guy.
Yeah.
Loved having him in.
Yes, yes, yes. And I'm just going to go ahead and give a premature shout out to my mother for this absolutely phenomenal meal she's going to make Saturday for the friendship or Friendsgiving dinner, I should say.
Exactly. I'm looking forward to it. I know your mom can cook.
Yes, and I'm looking forward to the punch she says she's going to make, too, because it's going to be some special punch.
Go on.
Yeah, it's going to be delicious. So, Slayton, let's go ahead and hop into it real quick. We're going to give our top fours, go over the college football playoff committee polls. They must have been really struggling because they didn't drop it till super late. And, of course, we will always get you ready for the weekend with our picks. So, Slayton, let's hop right into it. College football playoff committee poll. A lot of movement this week. Not necessarily in the top four, but from five on down, or maybe I would say seven on down. Well, actually, it was five on down. A lot of movement. So, let's hop into it. Clemson 1, Ohio State 2, Bama 3, Oklahoma State 4. So, no change there, really. Notre Dame 5, Iowa 6, Oklahoma the big jumper this week. Not really a surprise. At 7, Florida comes in. They jump up a couple spots to 8, Michigan State 9, Baylor 10, TCU 11, North Carolina 12. So North Carolina makes a humongous jump, and so does Houston. They come in at 13 this week, so they're starting to get a little bit of respect in the polls. Michigan kind of stays where they were at, 14. Stanford at 15. Florida State still hanging in there at 16. LSU takes a decent drop to 17. Utah takes a pretty bad drop as well to 18. Navy starts getting a little bit more love in the top 20 now at 19. And to finish out the top 25 is Northwestern, Wisconsin. USC makes an appearance once again. And Oregon finally makes an appearance, or I should say makes their appearance back. Washington State makes an appearance with the Mike Leach coached team. And Slayton, the team that has been ranked, unranked, ranked again, unranked the most this season besides Mississippi State, is Ole Miss, and they come in at 25.
State of Mississippi struggling this year.
And you know why they're 25?
No clue.
Just take a guess of why. Why would Ole Miss just randomly be ranked again for no reason?
They got a big upcoming game, don't
they? Yeah, they play LSU this week.
I think it does a disservice to Houston not being in the top 10. Being undefeated is hard to do. I don't care where you're playing. I believe that they're better than a lot of those one-loss teams. I think it's a disservice not being in the top 10.
It's the really schedule.
Even with the schedule. I mean, they beat Memphis. Memphis is not a scrub team.
I mean, no.
They're going to play a decent team this week.
Yeah. So. Hey, I think, like I said, they keep winning. They'll make a New Year's Six Bowl.
I hope they do.
I think they will. With the undefeated record, they have to get some kind of reward besides just the biggest non-New Year's Six Bowl, I think.
Well, you've got to give some kind of service to these not.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying.
So if they go undefeated, they deserve something.
Exactly.
So we'll see what
happens.
If
it's not a playoff spot, it should be in the Sugar, Citrus, you know.
It's
got to
be a major bowl.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. They should get a major bowl.
And, I mean, we had a conversation earlier in the week. And, like I said, I played a lifetime of football. I never had an undefeated season.
That is true.
It's impressive to go undefeated. I don't care where you're playing.
Yeah.
So I think they deserve more than they're getting. I really do.
Yeah. And if y'all don't know, we play football for 14 seasons, so if that tells you anything.
Exactly. Not a single time did I go into.
We definitely had our chances, I guess you would say. We're not necessarily had our chances, but we had our opportunities, I would say. We had 14 different opportunities to do it, and it never happened.
Exactly.
So, Slayton, what is your top four this week?
Okay, I took a little bit of a different route this time.
Okay.
I was just throwing every undefeated team that was basically left and seeing where they could fall.
Yep.
I had to work it in with Notre Dame this week because I believe that with their loss to number one Clemson, they deserve it.
That they're going to sneak in.
I do. And my top four is as follows, in order.
Oh, in order.
Clemson, in order.
Okay.
Number one Clemson. Number two, Ohio State. Number three, Oklahoma State. Number four, Notre Dame. Asterisk, though. Bama will jump Notre Dame with an SEC title.
For sure.
And
I bet Bama is licking their chops to get Notre Dame the first round.
Exactly. And Notre Dame, they may possibly not make the playoff. Their one loss is not going to be considered better than Bama's one loss, especially if Bama's bringing in a title.
Yeah.
So we'll see where Notre Dame falls.
I just don't know what the committee thinks about Notre Dame. Yes, they're highly ranked. Yes, they've played a pretty good schedule, a lot better than they used to in the past couple of seasons. But at the same time, it's almost hard to see Notre Dame in there at the same time.
I mean, we'll have to check this, but I'm almost positive that Notre Dame's strength of schedule this year was better than Bama's.
Okay, so question for you real quick before I give my top four. Let's say Oklahoma State only drops one. Let's say they're only losses to Oklahoma.
No, they're done.
Oklahoma State shouldn't get in over Notre Dame?
Nope.
You don't think so?
Nope.
Even with Oklahoma being a top four team at that point?
No, I believe if Oklahoma State falls, you've got to factor in some of these other undefeated teams.
Yeah, that is true.
I really do. If Houston goes,
so would you put Houston undefeated Houston over Notre Dame?
Yes, I would.
You would?
I would.
It's not going to happen, though.
No, it's not going to happen, but yeah. I would because I believe that undefeated season should be rewarded.
Give them a chance.
That's my thing. I can't tell you how long I've been preaching for an 18 playoff with one FCS.
Yeah.
I want to see that one FCS school come in.
I want to see the Montana Grizzlies get in this.
Exactly. Like, it would be great to see the FCS champion get a shot at a national title.
Yeah.
That would be crazy.
Well, give you my top four real quick before we get into our picks. Mine are not in order. I got Bama, Oklahoma, Notre Dame, and Clemson. I'm seeing you with Notre Dame. I see him sneaking there, especially with the Pac-12, everybody having two losses now. If Notre Dame wins out and only has one, I see Oklahoma as the biggest threat in the Big 12 at this point.
There's not a one-loss team that's going to make it out of the Big 12. I'll call it right now. If Oklahoma State doesn't go undefeated, they're not in. Oklahoma's not going to shift in. There's no way.
Not with only one loss.
Not with the loss of Texas.
I don't know. Because, I mean, you're going to look at it. SEC, whoever comes out of there is going to have one loss.
But
you look at the
is,
ACC, you got Clemson. They're already up there.
Yeah, but you're looking at title games.
If North Carolina was to win the ACC championship game, they got one loss. If Michigan State's to beat Ohio State this weekend, they win the Big Ten, guess what? They got one loss.
Well, I mean, if everybody
And then
runs
at that
loss.
Point, you look at it, Oklahoma's into the stretch. It ain't what you did at the beginning of the season. It's what you played at the end of the season. And last time I checked, they played a bunch of top 15 teams.
No. With that whole scenario, though, you're looking at everybody with one loss. So at that point, Houston better be in there.
The only thing we're looking at, the only two that have a chance is Ohio State and Iowa. Sorry, Iowa fans. Iowa, and then you got Clemson. That's it. Those are your only three undefeateds left. Well, then, obviously, Oklahoma State.
Oklahoma State. Like I said, for Oklahoma State to get in, they have to run the table.
Yeah.
And they've got a good chance to do it. I believe all their big games are still left in Stillwater.
They are. Iowa State was the last tricky road game they had to get over.
Right. So, Oklahoma, statistically, they've owned Stillwater.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens. But I still don't believe that a one-loss Oklahoma is better than, let's say, SEC-titled Bama. Because, truthfully, I would rank Notre Dame over Bama. I really would.
No.
Yes.
No.
Hold on. So no. Hold on. Without the SEC title, let's just take the title out of it. If you match them up win for win, their loss to Ole Miss is much worse than that loss to Clemson.
We're talking about the end of the season, though. You're going to have Alabama with a win over a top 15 Florida team with the SEC championship game. At that point, their resume is going to be better than Notre Dame's.
But if they beat Florida, they beat them by a field goal.
Doesn't matter. Florida's still going to be a high-ranked team, and so it's not going to be looked down on.
Okay. So what if all these teams round with one loss and you got Houston sitting there undefeated? Does Bama still make it?
Yeah.
Maybe.
They're going to.
Maybe. We'll see how it shakes out, but I mean.
Dude, we saw Bama with one loss when the college first poll came out from this committee, and they showed the love to Alabama. If you don't think Alabama's not going to get love with one loss, no matter how they play, you're smoking something.
I'll tell you what. I believe there's a little bit of SMU in Bama right now.
I think you're getting a little – that sickness. Yeah. You're a little under the way. I think it's getting to you if you're thinking a one-loss Bama's not going to make the playoff.
Well, no. I'm not saying that they won't. I'm just saying win for win as it is now, minus the title game, Notre Dame's record is better.
I'll give you this. The first five or six games, Bama wasn't that impressive. This little stretch they've went on has been as impressive. It's not necessarily been who they've played, but it's been how they've dominated.
Okay.
What they've done.
I'll give you that.
And they shut down the best running back in the nation, supposedly.
Okay, but so did Arkansas.
They didn't shut them.
You see what I'm saying?
He had 100-something yards total. He only had 30-something yards against Bama.
But that's the thing. The dominance plays against you to a point. Because now we're looking at LSU. Were they really that good?
Fournette's still pretty good.
But do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
We're looking back at this and we're like, man, LSU just dropped to a mediocre Arkansas team.
But Alabama handled them, though, like they should have if LSU turns out not to be that great of a team.
Exactly.
And we knew that people would stack the box on LSU.
But what happens when LSU destroys Ole Miss?
That's not going to happen.
It may not happen, but what happens if LSU destroys Ole Miss? Now you're looking at a triangle, and it's a horrible situation for Bama. It really is.
But Bama's still going to get the love because it's the SEC, and there is a little bit of SEC bias in it.
There's a lot of SEC bias.
It's going to happen. Sorry, people. SEC's loved. You know why? Because it's the best conference in the nation. So, let's go ahead and hop into our picks. Go ahead and wrap this show up. First game we got number 12, North Carolina at the Tech. We should have had this for us now, too. Frank Beamer said he's retiring at the end of the season. Another great coach, another coach who has took a small program and made it into something absolutely beyond what a lot of people probably would imagine.
He's a legend.
Yeah, for sure. Beamer ball, I mean, when you got your own brand of the way people play football, it means you've been a very influential person in the sport. So, this game, no, he ain't winning this one. 37-20, I got North Carolina wins. I think North Carolina, I might be underdoing their offense in this one, but with it being at VTech, I see them slowing down a little bit.
I don't see them slowing down at all. I really don't. Like I said, last, what, 4 or 5 weeks, they put up 50-plus.
Yeah.
I've got them under 50.
Yeah.
I've got them at 45-27 over VTech.
So we both got them handling them pretty easily. Next game we got is number 14, Michigan at Penn State. I believe this one is a tricky one from Michigan. I'm going to say Penn State takes this one because it's at home, and Michigan's offense has been struggling the past couple weeks, and their defense is still a great defense, but we've seen this past week that they are vulnerable in some spots, and I am going to say this is the game that the scouts look at Penn State's quarterback and see the potential that he has. 28-24, Penn State gets the victory.
Yeah, it's never going to be close, and I'm going to tell you why right now. Michigan's defense is going to destroy that offensive line from Penn State. And I'll tell you right now, it's going to be a 3-touchdown victory. Easy.
Okay.
It's going to be 35-14 at best.
35-14 at best.
At best.
Okay.
Penn State.
So you betting the line all day?
Oh, yeah. I'd take that all day, yeah. 7 ways to Sunday.
Line probably ain't 21, I would imagine. So. No.
But, yeah, Penn State's offensive line all year long been horrible. They're known for their infamous.
And that's hurt Hattenberg. It really has.
It has. And I don't care who your quarterback is. If you can't block for him, he's not going to be a Pro Bowler.
Yep.
I mean.
That's very true. So, Slayton, next game. This is the big one that we've been talking about. We've hinted towards it a couple times. Memphis at Temple. Both the teams were ranked. Now, neither one of them are ranked.
Been on a cold streak for both of these.
Yeah. I've picked them the past 2 weeks, and they've lost. But you know what? I'm just going to ride or die with Memphis at this point. I'm going to pick them in this one in a close one. I think it's going to be a good game. 34-30.
Yeah, I'm with you. I hate picking against Memphis. I know that Temple defense is stout.
Yeah, they are.
They're very stout. And that's what's killing me on this game and picking it. I got Memphis winning it, but I'm pretty sure I'm going to be wrong. 31-24 over Temple.
But, hey, Memphis, we're riding with you.
We are.
Do your thing.
And if y'all make a good bowl game, we deserve tickets because we have talked about y'all all year long.
Every single week, it seems like. So, next game, we got the wonderful, great, phenomenal team playing in this game. But it's not Wake Forest, and they're visiting number one Clemson. This one's going to be horrible, and I'm going to change my score on this one because I don't even know what I was thinking. I was underestimating Clemson. I had 35. I'm going 48-7, Slayton.
Yeah, I'm with you. I've got 45-17, and that 17 is going to come late.
Really late. The JV, the freshmen are going to be playing. So, next game, UCLA at number 18, Utah. UCLA's, they're up and down. You never know what you're going to get from them. And it's at Utah, but I think UCLA and Rosen are going to do some good things this week. So, I got them winning 24-21.
Yeah, I'm with you, and I'm making this my lock of the week.
Ooh!
And if for those of you who have been listening, we've been struggling the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, we have somehow skipped lock of the week.
We've had 2 weeks such in a long row. Shows that we've struggled to get the lock of the week.
Yeah.
So I've got to go in 24-17 over Utah. UCLA wins it, but it's tight.
Yes, and before we do any more of the scores, you're 5-4 in lock of the weeks as well, right?
I'm 6-3 in lock of the week.
6-3. Oh, okay.
Boom.
Well, I went 9-4 last week, and that brings my total record to 92-36. And Slayton, what was yours?
Boy, I'm 91-37 overall, 6-3 in locks, and 10-3 in the previous week.
So just like the fantasy lead, I'm winning.
Yeah, by one win. I'm catching up, though. I got you in locks.
Yeah, you do. But, hey, that's going to change this week. Next game, number 20 Northwestern at number 21 Wisconsin. I think this one's going to be low scoring and kind of ugly, but I got Northwestern winning 20-17.
Boy, that is never going to happen. Wisconsin's going to win 31-28 over Northwestern.
You trying to make sure you get over me this week, huh?
Oh, I am.
I'm picking the winners, though. That's what I do.
Yeah, whatever, man.
So,
where'd that lock of the week go?
Hey, lock of the week's right here. Number 17, LSU at number 25, Ole Miss. And guess what, Slayton? That Ole Miss D, they going to handle Fournette as well. The game plan's been laid. Ole Miss, 31-24.
Boy, this is truly my chance to catch up.
Right home.
Here.
Lock of the week. White Boy Stew's lock of the week.
You picking the upset over LSU with Ole Miss?
Yes.
Boy.
Swag Kelly going to be swagging it out.
I'm glad you're giving me the opportunity.
He's
going to
be kissing babies, autographing titties, whatever he does.
Well, I'm letting you know right now, I'm going to catch up on this one because LSU's going to win this one 28-17 over Ole Miss.
How many yards Fournette have?
Probably a little over 100, but they don't have to do that much to beat Ole Miss. Ole Miss will beat themselves.
Well, we have seen that, but it's at home. It's at the Grove, so Ole Miss definitely has a chance to beat LSU, and that's my lock of the week because it's going to happen. So, next game, we got Arkansas at Mississippi State. Both these teams have been ranked at points of the season. Now, both of them aren't, but they're both those middle-of-the-road SEC West teams. They're solid, but they're just not as good as the top runners. I got Arkansas winning this one, even though it's at Mississippi State, because I think they're just playing a little bit better, and they got a little bit better offense than Mississippi State, 26-20 in a physical battle.
Well, I'll tell you something. Growing up, I was always preached one thing. If they can't score, they can't win.
That is true.
And I believe Mississippi State's going to have problems scoring on this Arkansas defense.
Yep.
28-17, but that 17 is going to come late.
Late.
So we'll see what happens.
I think it's going to be a pretty good game. I think it's going to be if Prescott can run the ball or if Collins can run the ball better. I really believe that's what it's going to come down
to. When does Collins slow down?
Never.
I don't know, man.
He's a machine.
Yeah, he's got a lot of carries on him this year, though. He's
just the way he runs, though. He
takes a lot of hits.
He'd be laying the hits. I don't know what you're talking about. So, next game. Number 9, Michigan State at number 2, Ohio State. We've been waiting on this one, waiting on this one, waiting on this one for all season. Finally, Ohio State is playing somebody. Finally. How many games you got left in the season? 3? 2? 2? Yeah, 2. And they finally playing somebody. Goodness gracious. And I don't care if it's at the dang horseshoe. Michigan State's going to win this one. 34-28, and I'm going to tell you why. It's not because they got better athletes. It's not necessarily because they've been playing better than Ohio State. It's because Michigan State's played in tough games this year. They've got experience in these big games. Ohio State has not played in a big game besides the first game of the season, and now won a big game because it's against the sloppy V-Tech Hokies. That's why Michigan State's going to win this one, 34-28.
Boy, I'm so glad you're giving me the chance to jump out ahead here. I got Ohio State winning this one, 35-17, and let me tell you why. Because even the best hammer gets rusty. Michigan State's defense not going to show up this week. It's just not going to happen. Ohio State's got the general. Urban Meyer, I hate to say him. I know you hate him because he left Florida. He's going to get it done this week.
No, he's going to lose this game, and he's going to get sick.
It's not going to happen, I'm telling you. Ohio State is going to be prepared for this game.
Then JT Barrett's going to get a DUI this time, well, not an OVI or whatever the heck it was.
Think about this. Ohio State's going to come out angry. They've had to hear it from us and everybody else all year long. They ain't played nobody.
Schedule somebody then. You got open spaces at the beginning of the season. Schedule somebody.
We're right here. If they
Michigan ain't scared to schedule nobody.
That's true.
Penn State ain't scared to schedule nobody.
That's true. But why should
Michigan
you schedule
State ain't scared to play nobody. They played Oregon.
Why should you play anybody if they're going to keep ranking you in the top four for not playing anybody?
That sounds like a coward's way to go, if you ask me.
Hey.
Got to beat the best to be the best, and that showed.
Got them a title last year.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying.
They also had one loss, too, didn't they?
They did.
And they're going to have one loss after this week. So, next game. Number 19, Navy at Tulsa. Reynolds shakes it. Navy takes care of business, 40-20. Tulsa's a good team, though.
I don't think Tulsa's that great. I got Navy going 24-7 over Tulsa. Tulsa might score
Tulsa
first.
Kept up with Memphis.
Tulsa might score first. But they definitely ain't going to score last.
No. So both got Navy handling their business. Yeah. I want to see Navy keep winning at this point.
This next one's the big one.
The Memphis fire's kind of burned a little down a little bit. So I'm picking my Navy because they got the fight song of my high school. They got Anchors Away. So every time they score, I get to hear one of the best fight songs I ever created. So next game. Yeah, this one's huge. Huge. Humongous. It's big in the Big 12. Got number 10, Baylor, at number 4, Oklahoma State. Baylor has to win this one to keep any somewhat chance alive that they have to go to the playoff and to win the Big 12. But it ain't going to happen because it's at Stillwater, 39-31 Oklahoma State.
Boy, I believe that this
Stidman's going to struggle again.
I believe that this is the game that messes up the entire Big 12. Baylor's going to win this game, and here's why. They lost badly to Oklahoma. The score was closer than it looked.
Yeah.
Baylor's going to win 35-28 over Oklahoma State. It's going to be ugly, but they're going to get it done.
It's going to get it done.
They are.
Should have made that your lock of the week.
No.
No.
Nah.
Nah.
I think UCLA beating Utah is a pretty good sketchy pick.
Yeah, I got what you're saying. So, another big game.
I don't think this one's big at all.
In the Big 12. Hey, it's big for both these teams, though.
No.
Number 11, TCU at number 7, Oklahoma. I got Oklahoma win this one because they're hot. TCU ain't. 36-24. And if TCU don't have Boykin, it's going to be worse than that.
Yeah, I don't believe that they're going to have Boykin this week. So Oklahoma's definitely going to run the show. It's going to be 35-17, and they're going to be lucky to put up 17.
Yeah, I see TCU struggling in this game on both sides of the ball. So got three more games. Let's touch. Actually, got one more game. They're going to touch on our boys real quick. Got Cal at number 15, Stanford. Cal's played good some games, and then other games they haven't. Goff's played well, and then other games he hasn't. But that's kind of the same thing with Stanford. I'm going to take Stanford in this one because it's at home, and they are better than Cal, 34-23.
Yeah, I've got Stanford winning this one as well. It's not going to be a runaway. I believe Stanford's going to come out with high intensity. We'll see if that causes some mistakes on their end. 27-14, Stanford over Cal.
Yep, so we agree on that one. So let's hop into our boys real quick before we get out of here. My boys, this is homecoming or senior day, whichever one you want to call it. Actually, I believe Florida State senior day. So this would be homecoming. Got Florida Atlantic coming into the swamp. Now look, Florida, it's all I want. I want us to get out to like a 21-0 lead and just sit on it. That's all I know. That's all I need. I got y'all winning 28-7. I'm cool with that. Take care of your business. Play good D. If you want to score 35, that's cool too. Just please get out to a big lead at the beginning of the game so I don't have to worry. Please. 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 That's. I just need one game to rest my heart.
I really don't know why you're worried about this game.
I'm not worried about it. I just want us to have a comfortable win because I feel like every single time we've won, maybe besides Ole Miss, and that was still nerve-wracking through half the game.
Well, allow me to ease your nerves.
I want us to dominate.
Let me ease your nerves a little bit. FAU's a throwing team.
Yay.
Florida is a defensively.
They're a throwing defense.
Exactly. They're ready for this throwing game.
Yes, they are.
I promise you, FAU's not going to come out and show you anything better than anybody you've played.
Yeah.
It's going to be 24-7 more than likely.
So we got about the same score.
Yeah. It's going to be right in that four-ish.
I want to see Trayon play clean. I want to see him make some plays when he's got and not pull it down so fast. And I also want to see our run game do a lot.
If they come out and just play decent, they should win this by three or more scores.
Yeah, and that's all I want them to lead by the whole entire game, so I ain't got to worry about it. So, Slayton, I don't think it's going to go as well for your boys, though. They got Texas Tech coming in the house, and Texas Tech can put up some points, and Texas struggles stopping people from putting up points a lot of times. But it's at Texas, but you got the Texas rivalry, and I know this is going to hurt because you don't want to lose to a team in Texas if you're Texas. A lot of Texases around here. But I got Tech winning big, 55-17.
Whew. Did it?
It could happen.
You're doing me dirty now.
It could happen, though,
doing
bro.
Me dirty.
Don't even act like that could not happen. I might be a little generous with the 17.
Yeah, I've got 17 for Texas as well. Texas Tech probably going to put up 38 or more. Texas 17. Texas Tech takes it. I hate to say that because that's going to put us out of bowl contention.
Yeah.
Although a 6-win Texas may not have made a bowl anyways, as horrible.
Do you want them to make a bowl though?
I don't know.
No,
I don't.
That's how I was with Florida last year. I was like, nope, I don't even want us to make a bowl. But then we did. But so it makes it all right. But you're kind of like, I'm playing in the Birmingham Bowl. Yay! This comes on between the playoff games and the New Year's Six bowls.
I don't know what to think about this Texas team. I really don't. I'm with you.
Inconsistent. That's what it is. That's the stamp for this team this year in my eyes.
I got news for you. He loses really bad to Texas Tech, and they're going to get the doors blown off by Baylor. Let's be honest.
They might get it blown off by Texas Tech, too, because they got an offense.
Well, if they get the doors blown off versus Texas Tech, and then Baylor, Strong won't be there.
No.
Especially with a loss to Iowa State. I don't care if you did beat Oklahoma. That's a horrible year.
Yep.
So we'll see what happens, but – the boosters for Texas aren't going to allow those kind of losses.
No.
They're going to start taking their money out of that program.
Yeah, I could definitely see that. So, Slayton, you got any last words you want to say before we hop out of here?
Looking forward to a great week of football. Happy birthday to me, and I'm out.
And I would just like to say, go Gators.
Hook 'em.